I would imagine that the crowd, at the least, in Minnesota is going to be 70-30 Eagles fans. But the tickets are so expensive. I mean, it's basically a corporate event. But there will be Eagles fans that mortgage in the house and will be in Minneapolis, you know, when it's 10 degrees outside, rocking short-sleeve Eagles jerseys and running around and yelling at the top of their lungs. But a lot has been made of the Eagles fans. Again, there was a public service announcement to Vikings fans that were going down there to, you know, to be very careful and to not engage. I mean, it really sounded like there was like a lion on the loose.
Right.
Like, don't engage with it. Don't, you know, talk to it. Don't wear your, it doesn't like certain colors.
Do not, and the best thing is that it was proven true because you saw the videos of people just getting pelted. Just because they were wearing a Vikings uniform or a jersey, they were getting thrown beer as they were walking in.
Right.
I mean, this is something that you hear stories about, people using the outhouses, you know, near the parking lot. And if you're wearing an opposing team's jersey, they'll knock you over while you're inside of it. Remember, that was a Philadelphia Eagles thing. There's been a million different stories. Let's just go to line two, because this is the story I completely had forgotten about when it comes to just how awful the people of Philadelphia can be. Chris, you reminded me of this story.
Oh, yeah, this was a terrible story. I remember a few years ago, I think it was, there was like this Goodwill, like, little robot thing that
was
making its way throughout the world. And, you know, people were following it on Facebook, and they loved this thing. And the kids, you know, were sending notes to it and everything else. And it showed up in Philly, and it went dark.
Yeah.
Poor body, like, you know, decapitated. And, like, you know, they hung its, like, you know, leg from one, you know, telephone pole. I mean, do they have a zoo in that city? Because, I mean, they got to protect those seals and things.
Well, this was a hitchhiking robot that some scientists had created, and it already hitchhiked all the way across Germany, Canada, the Netherlands, and they dropped it off in New York, and he went down to Philadelphia, and the next thing you know, they found it in, like, 80 pieces. And he, like, it's a robot with, like, a smiley face and stuff, and he's like, hello. People are taking pictures of it. Like, literally, its head was on one street, and its legs were hanging from a street pole on another
street. I kind of admire that. What a stupid idea.
You're coming to my neighborhood.
It's some dumb robot. Take this, Poindexter.
The Goodwill robot just gets smashed.
Like, all right, hippie, with your stupid robot, here you go.
It's like wearing galoshes, too. It's like a galoshes wearing robot. Yes.
No,
galoshes.
Well, all the more. You're wearing galoshes.
What the hell?
You deserve what comes to you.
God.
I actually appreciate that. Let's cure cancer instead of making this dumb robot that goes around with a smiley face.
What's the end game of that?
No, exactly. Just say, hey, it's Goodwill, everyone. You know,
take this robot around the world.
Philadelphia's already experienced the Rocky robot.
How much money was sunk into that?
They've already experienced the Rocky robot.
Maybe it was the Rocky robot that did it.
That served drinks. Dave, go ahead.
Hey, stick an egg, guys.
What's up, Dave?
What's up?
Yeah, about, I guess it was about 15 years ago, it was back in 99, a bunch of us, we've been going to away games every year, and it was our first one. We went to the old vet, and there were about six of us, and we wore our patch gear, because that's what we always do, and we're in the 700 section at the vet. I don't know if you guys have ever been there, but it's, you know, the cheap seats. So we're up in the end zone, just minding our business, because we heard how bad everyone was, and the more that the Patriots lost, the worse the fans got. All of a sudden, where some guy comes over and just for no reason takes a swing at us. So we're like, we're just sitting there watching the game. We're getting our butts kicked. And we're like, what's going on? So come the fourth, like, it goes on and on. And come the fourth quarter, we look down. And out in the old vet, if you walked up from the concourse, there was this little landing that you stand on. And you turn around and go up to your seats. We look down, and all those yellow jackets, the security guards, are all lined up there with four cops. And at the end of the game, we walk down, two police officers go in front of us, four of the security guys and two cops behind us. They didn't say a word to us the whole way. They just walked around us the whole way till we got to the exit for our own safety.
Yeah, and then you're on your own,
man.
Then they're releasing you to the wolves. Yeah, the old vet, boy, that was, I don't know why they made that place. Because the Phillies used to play there. I've seen the Phillies there. Again, I've never been to an Eagles game. But I saw the Phillies there. The idea that they created that place, and that was such a dump. It was just concrete and garbage everywhere. Yeah, the old vet was terrible. And when it rained, it would all pool up everywhere. There was no irrigation system. John, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on? Good morning, guys.
Hey.
So, no, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. And then the big thing that happened was I've gone to tons of Philly games, tons of Flyers games, and every time I go, someone either hits me or you see someone get spat on from, like, top of an escalator or something.
All right, we lost you.
All right, we lost him there.
Again, I've been to Flyers games, and the most offensive thing is those losers that wear the orange suits with the orange ties and the black shirts.
And it's just orange. It's that weird type of orange.
Yeah, no, I've never seen anything at a Flyers game, and I've never seen anything at a Phillies game.
Sorry, just sent me a picture of the robot, the Goodwill robot, in, like, pieces.
Yeah.
It's like a crime scene.
Oh, man.
It's just everything's detached. Okay.
I seriously do. I think that you got what's coming to you, Mr. Scientist, with your stupid idea. Go find some use for your brain.
You make a dumb robot.
Yeah, you make some stupid robot that walks around. You got what's coming to you.
Search continues this noon for whoever brought an end to Hitchbot's mission in Philadelphia. The hitchhiking robot from Canada was on a mission to explore the kindness of people across the nation. But its life was cut short after being left on a bench in Old City. The goal was for someone to pick it up and take it to Washington, D.C. Instead, Hitchbot was found in a pile of leaves, headless, with all of its electronics stolen.
Wait a second. The idea was someone to take it to D.C.?
He's hitchhiking.
What moron is going to pick up some dumb robot? I want to see what's doing in that thing. What if he's got a bomb in it?
Right.
Like, what stupid idiot is going to pick?
I've seen RoboCop 2. I know those robots go crazy.
What moron?
I've seen Chopping Mall.
What moron created that thing?
Those friendly Canadians are like, oh, no problem.
I don't believe any of that happened. I don't believe that robot was anywhere. That it was in Germany?
Where
someone bought a ticket for it to come over?
The pictures prove it. It was all over the place. Go to MySpace. You'll see all the photos.
Here's an idea. Get in a car and drive the thing yourself.
No, how about this? Don't make it. How about make something that saves lives?
Right.
Or make something that goes to the moon. Stop making the Goodwill robot to see the kindness of humans.
I'm going
to
pick up a real hitchhiker. Have some fun. Make life interesting.
It's
a robot.
A losing battle.
Yeah, yeah. It should be the robot. You end up in a bathtub with ice and it's taking your organs.
Right. Stabbot 2000. Jesus. Just stabs you. You know?
Drifter robot.
Essentially, that's what it is. Drifter robot.
I'm glad that they broke that thing. It's a mission of peace. Oh. It's about the kindness. Shut up.
Here's a baseball bat to the head.
Well, listen. And I like how they're looking for the guy who destroyed it. As if, like, what crime is that? There's some robot rolling around? What's the crime?
Right, you can't just destroy a random robot at any given time?
No, seriously.
You should have the right to do that. I think it's in the Constitution.
No, what's the crime? Like, honestly, what's the crime? You didn't steal anything.
You can't just, like, destroy something that's not yours.
Destruction of personal property, maybe.
Yeah.
So what's the crime? $25 fine?
Maybe.
And infamy forever in the city of Philadelphia.
That's right. And you get a plaque made up for you.
No, but seriously, like, what's the crime for that? What is it? Honestly, were you going to go to jail?
Restitution, you got to pay the $2,000.
I'm not paying anything to the hippie guy that made the robot. It was an experiment, and your experiment failed. Take that, hippie. You made an experiment, and I proved that it was wrong. Here's the kindness of people, stupid.
That's right. You were wrong.
I don't know what that robot's doing. That robot could be filming chicks taking off their clothes in their bedrooms. I don't know what the robot's doing.
It
could be
Peepot.
Yeah, it could be Peepot 2000. Yeah, you don't know. It could be watching girls go to the bathroom. I don't know what that robot's doing with that crazy mad scientist.
That's crazy. Some guy programmed the guy to watch women go to the bathroom.
That's right.
Take me to your urinal.
A urinal?
Yeah, I want to watch men.
That's right. Okay,
it's like getting the plumbing. I don't like that.
Secretly described as a kitchen sink to monitor everybody.
That's right. It's
Fred.
SinkBot 2000. You won three?
A four.
All right, Chuck, go ahead.
Fred, has your heart just died inside your chest? What the hell is wrong with you?
Oh, why? Because I don't like the stupid robot? I don't know what that thing's got going.
Well, the next thing you're going to do is you're going to be going to those little teeny libraries that are in neighborhoods where you can just, like, walk up and take a book, and you're going to tear all the pages out.
No, a book?
Wait a minute.
No, a library serves a purpose. A library...
Yes, a bathroom for homeless people.
No, that's true. But a library holds a purpose. It does, because there's information for people that is free. I believe in the libraries.
And it makes the Dewey Decimal System relevant.
Well, no, all right, there.
What do you, Wallach knows the Dewey Decimal System.
Of course, Wallach's...
He invented it.
Yeah, right. Wallach's doing Rich Little jokes.
All about the numbers, kid.
From 1984. He just sucked. All right, take it easy.
See you, man.
No, if something serves a purpose, I understand it. Like, I don't go in and steal things. But the stupid, it's just such a waste of energy and time. He was waiting for someone to pick it up and take it to D.C. Well, your experiment failed.
He's dead.
The sad thing is,
the guy
probably took about 5 months out of his life to build that thing.
5 months? Whatever. It probably has been his life mission. And what a waste of time. What a phenomenal waste of time. I don't know what that thing's got going in it. With the way things are nowadays, I'll tell you what.
I love this. We just say how bad are Eagles fans in the full phone lines.
Yeah.
It's TNR. TNR. On 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter. At Tucker and Rich.
Caldwell Pope's second free throw. That's going to bounce out. Rebound Smart. 5 seconds to go. Smart races into the front court. Smart step back. He's going to take a three. It bounces out, and the Lakers win the ball game.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Chris Mannix covers the NBA. Senior writer at Yahoo Sports. He's also, you can see him here. NBC Sports Boston. He joins us. Mr. Mannix, hello, sir.
Morning, guys.
It's always a pleasure. What is going on with the Celtics? Why are they so incredibly bad?
Well, I mean, like, there's clearly a couple of layers to it. You know, first, the defense has been very average over the last three or four games. Thought it was better last night, but you saw the way the Lakers, who are a pretty good team when it comes to scoring in the paint, they did to Boston what Orlando did, and they just gashed them. I think it was 58 points in the paint. A couple of days ago, Orlando had 62. You're seeing the Celtics' lack of an interior presence is getting exposed out there. I mean, when Aron Baynes isn't playing well, there just really isn't a big man. And you saw it last night with the way that the Lakers went to the basket and with Julius Randle, how he just completely controlled kind of the last few minutes in the paint. The other part of it is offensively, it does look like Jason Tatum is starting to hit a bit of a wall, which is kind of surprising to me. I mean, I figured he'd hit some wall at some point, but, you know, this was a team coming off a London trip where they played one game in 9 days. I thought that would have been, you know, really good for Tatum in terms of recharging the batteries a little bit. Seems like maybe it had, you know, the opposite effect. And, you know, when Tatum isn't playing at a high level, the margin for error for this team offensively isn't very high. I mean, you know, Kyrie's going to do what he does. Al's going to give you, you know, 10 to 15. But they count on Tatum to be, you know, 13 to 19 points every single night. And when he's as off as he was last night, it really, you know, hurts them offensively. So they're going through a funk right now. I won't say that I'm completely, you know, like overwhelmed by it. Every team goes through some stuff, but this is kind of their midseason swoon.
Now, at what point does Danny consider possibly bringing in somebody? I mean, they still got that player exception for Gordon Hayward that they could use. I mean, don't you think when you just have seen what's going on in these four games that they could use a little bit of depth, as you said, for the times when Aron Baynes isn't playing as well as he could?
Oh, well, look, I think they're well past that point. And Danny Ainge and his staff have been canvassing the league, you know, looking for help there. The problem is teams, especially ones that are kind of borderline in the playoff mix, like the Clippers, who they'll play later on tonight, you know, they're not looking to break up their team just yet. They'd like to wait till they get closer to that February 8th trade deadline to make any kind of decisions there. But, yeah, make no mistake, the Celtics are... You're not just looking for one piece. I think they're looking for two right now. They do have that disabled player exception, but if it's possible for them to add a bench scorer and add an interior presence to the mix, I mean, they're going to do it. I mean, There's a handful of guys out there. I mean, names you've probably heard before. Tyreek Evans is one. Lou Williams, who we'll see later tonight with the Clippers, is another. Greg Monroe, who I think is going to get bought out at some point in the next couple of weeks, is another guy. I mean, these are all, you know, very much on Boston's radar. And as soon as their team or that player finds a way to wriggle free, you know, they're going to be extremely aggressive in trying to grab him.
All right, Chris, as much as this Celtics story is interesting, but, you know, once again, it is middle of the season. It's four games. I get that. This Cavaliers story is, I'm obsessed with it. It just gets better and better every day as the pages turn. The dysfunction that's been going on with this team, the lack of answers, it seems like, and this great meeting that apparently they all had. And now I'm hearing that Isaiah Thomas might have been the main man behind this meeting.
The guy who's been there 3 weeks.
Right. So, okay. Can you kind of take us into the center of what the hell is going on behind the scenes with the Cleveland Cavaliers right now?
Well, first off, I haven't been able to confirm myself that Isaiah was as proactive as some of these reports have suggested, though given, you know, kind of some of his public comments over the last few weeks, it stands to reason that, yeah, that there's some truth out there to it. I mean, the Cavs, you know, I've been saying for 2 months now that this was not business as usual for Cleveland. Their defensive problems and chemistry issues were more significant than they've been in years past. It all kind of manifested itself a couple of days ago with this, you know, bizarre clear-the-air meeting where, you know, Kevin Love was a target. Now, if I'm Kevin Love, I'm a little pissed off at all this. I mean, Kevin Love was just named to the All-Star team. And Kevin Love, regardless of what happened over the weekend with the Oklahoma City game, did nothing close to what Derrick Rose did a couple of weeks ago.
Derrick Rose quit.
Quite literally left the team.
Yeah.
Just, you know, left. And then he was welcomed back, no questions asked, opened arms. And if I'm Kevin Love, who has been a target really since the moment he was traded there, I'm a little perplexed by all this. But they've got significant chemistry issues. And really, the big issue is that they know how bad they are defensively. I was talking to a coach from a team that went up against Cleveland recently, and he was telling me that when he watches them and listens to them on the floor, Isaiah is a huge target for LeBron, for others, in terms of guys just yelling at him to get in position, yelling at him to go through screens. Because Isaiah, look, as we saw in Boston, not very good in pick and roll coverage. So it all kind of boils down to that. And yeah, I just don't see how they get significantly better. I mean, the George Hill trade talk, I think, would make them a little bit better. Hill is a decent on-ball defender who can make shots and has experience, but it's not, you know, significantly better. They're in some real trouble here because that defense is as bad as any defense in the league.
All right, but Chris, real quick, I'm sorry, what did they expect with Isaiah Thomas? It's like they're yelling at him, but they knew he didn't play defense. On top of that, he's coming back from an injury, so he's not going to be the Isaiah Thomas of last year. Like, why are they yelling at him? What did they expect?
Well, I honestly, if my read of it is right, it's they didn't really expect him to be this bad defensively. I think they knew clearly they knew what he was. I mean, they've gone up against him the last few years, but I think they didn't realize it was going to be this bad out there. And it's not like they have a replacement that can come in kind of an offense defense. Like in Boston, you know, Isaiah's bad defensively. Marcus Smart just came in an offense defense sort of setup. If Isaiah's bad defensively in Cleveland, it's Derrick Rose, who's, you know, also really bad, and Jose Calderon, who's also really bad. I'll tell you what, I'm very interested to see what Ty Lue does to this lineup. After the loss last night, you know, he hinted that there could be some lineup changes. Don't be surprised at all if one of those changes is bringing Isaiah Thomas off the bench. I think they're going to shake this thing up at some point because they can't continue going down this path.
And looking forward, I mean, there's a school of thought that says, you know, there's really not much for Cleveland to do in the trade market other than George Hill, because if you give away too much and then LeBron leaves, you've put your franchise back 3-4 years if you deal that Brooklyn pick. I mean, one school of thought is, regardless of, you know, sink or swim, you stand pat. If you don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals or the NBA Finals, so be it, but you have more to reset with when LeBron leaves next year if you stay with what you have.
Yeah, but to me, that's such a chicken philosophy. Like, just holding on to that draft pick as some sort of, you know, LeBron reboots is weak. I mean, you go back to 2010. You guys remember when LeBron was still in Cleveland for the first go-around. The Cavaliers of the 2010 trade deadline had an opportunity to go get Amari Stoudemire, who at that point was in his prime, was playing at, you know, all-star level, worthy of a $100 million contract from the Knicks that offseason. They could have had him if they were willing to part with J.J. Hickson, and they wouldn't part with J.J. Hickson. And, like, you know, Hickson was there for, I think, one more year before ultimately defecting himself. LeBron left, and the rest, as we know, is history. This kind of feels like that. And, you know, look, the Nets, I think they lost again last night, but this Nets team is going to be one of those teams that gets better as they go towards the end of the season, whereas everybody else around them is going to get worse. I'm convinced that pick is more likely to wind up in the 9 to 11 range than it is in kind of that 4 to 6 range. So what's really the point in clinging to it if all it's likely to get you is a rotation player? I would be extremely active right now in trying to convince the Clippers to give up DeAndre Jordan in exchange for that Nets pick, because DeAndre Jordan, if I'm Boston, DeAndre Jordan scares me. DeAndre Jordan, to me, is the guy that could get the Cavaliers at the very least out of the Eastern Conference. That's a deal I wouldn't want to see Cleveland make.
All right, Chris, finally, a little bit of good news amongst the bad games that the Celtics have been playing as of late, and that's that Gordon Hayward actually traveled with the team yesterday. I know he's going to be doing some work out in L.A. for a couple weeks. But then Brad dropped that little nugget that he's going to be traveling with the team. They're expecting the beginning of March. What does that mean to you when you hear Brad Stevens say that?
Well, I love that the Robin Hayward Zapruder films are going to be analyzed, you know, for the next couple of weeks while he's out in San Diego, you know, shooting these jump shots. Look, you know, one thing over the last, recently as a week ago, that was made clear to me was that they're still very much in the healing phase of all this. And it's not until he starts really working out and cutting and doing basketball moves that they can put a timetable on it. That said, the idea that he's going to be traveling with the team in March, presumably practicing with the team, that's a great sign. So I think it's the first and strongest sign that perhaps Gordon Hayward is going to be back this season. But I would, you know, again, like, as excited as Boston fans should be about the possibility of getting Gordon Hayward back, if and when he does come back this season, he's going to be nothing more than a 10 to 15 minute player who can come off your bench. That's still valuable, and we see Boston's lack of offensive options off the bench. Gordon Hayward would be a welcome addition over, you know, Semi Ojeleye or some of these other guys the Celtics are running out there on the back end of the bench. But he's going to be a fraction of the player he once was when he comes back.
All right, Chris Mannix from Yahoo Sports, also NBC Sports Boston. Always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for the time.
Anytime, fellas.
All right, see you.
Right, we appreciate it.
When we get back, for anyone who has ever given me crap for talking about LeBron James as being self-centered, I'm going to present some evidence after the break that, I mean, there's just no more argument. There's none.
All right.
Yesterday was an all-time a-hole day for LeBron James.
Looking forward to hearing about it. Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
98.5 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We just talked to Chris Mannix about some of the situation going on in Cleveland. It seems like Isaiah Thomas is really not doing wonders for his career. It seems that his idea of the Brinks truck backing up is long gone.
He might not be long for that team, by the way. They might trade him, too.
I don't know how long he is for the NBA. I mean, I don't know how much longer he's going to be able to play professional basketball.
You see, I don't think that's fair. And the reason is that he's still injured. I mean, he's coming off of a pretty big injury.
Well, the question is, will he ever make it all the way back? That was a concern back when he got hurt. The defensive problems aren't going anywhere, regardless of where he travels to. And, you know, he is what he is. And in today's day and age, you got to play both ways. And remember, we brought this up before, positionless basketball. So many switches on the defensive end. You don't just guard point guards anymore. You're stuck, you know, guards are stuck on small forwards and sometimes fours. And if you're Isaiah and you're 5'9", maybe the game is evolving away from you.
Well, here's the one thing that I don't blame the Cavaliers and the rest of the organization for being pissed at Isaiah. Because I guess he is being the target of a lot of their ire in the locker rooms. Is that once you're a member of the Cavaliers, shut up about your other teams. The whole thing that happened with the tribute night, that was a major story. And if you're a member of the Cavaliers, you're like, shut up, dude. You're a Cav now. You shouldn't care less about what they're going to do for you. Don't make a big deal out of it. And then he never resists making some sort of snide comment about how his own team is playing and comparing it to how good it was in Boston. Just the other day when they got blown out and the Oklahoma City Thunder were able to score 148 points on him, he goes, you know, we practice harder in Boston than we do here. We need to look at ourselves in the mirror. If you're LeBron James, like, F you.
And also,
it's one of the few times that I'm actually on LeBron's side on this.
And also, if you practice so hard, why do you suck at defense? I mean, you're a huge part of the problem.
Sure.
I mean, you're a complete liability. you didn't practice your way into being a good defender in Boston. You were terrible.
I understand that, but that part of it, like, you knew what you were getting. I keep saying that. If you're going to complain about Isaiah Thomas' defense, then you're the only people in the world that didn't know he doesn't play defense.
If it's a lack of being in the right position, if it's a lack of effort, that's something that's an entirely different story. I mean, if they're yelling at him like Manick said about his positioning on defense, that's just lack of concentration. All right.
Well, so LeBron James, listen, there's a lot of people who have said, Rich, why are you coming down on LeBron? Why do you think that he's self-centered? I mean, there's not really hasn't been any evidence up to this point.
I'm not an excuse guy in the fact that I spoil a lot of people with my play.
He does not have a track record of saying things about just how amazing he is and never passing up a chance to do that.
He is getting through that Godfather book.
He is. So I think that they've lost 10 of their last 14. Is that right?
10 of 13, yes.
10 of 13. They're going through a horrible slump. There's dysfunction everywhere. They don't seem to be getting better on defense. Yet yesterday, on LeBron James's Instagram, he posted a photo of himself when he was younger. I think it was when he was probably like 17 years old. And he said, you know what? There's a big night coming up. I'm about to score my, is it the 30,000th point?
Yes.
I'm about to score my 30,000th point. So LeBron James posts an Instagram, and guess who he congratulates? Himself. This is according to his Instagram. Can I just read it?
Yeah.
This is written by LeBron James to LeBron James.
All right.
Want to be the first to congratulate you on this accomplishment / achievement tonight that you'll reach! Exclamation point. Only a handful has reached / seen it too. And while I know it's never been a goal of yours from the beginning, try, please try, to take a moment for yourself on how you've done it. The house you're about to be a part of has only 6 seats in it as of now. But one more will be added, and you should be very proud and honored to be invited inside. There's so many people to thank who has helped this even become possible. So thank them all.
Is he having a problem with tense?
Yes.
In this, or is it me?
No, it's all over the place. Yes.
Well, obviously, the reading The Godfather is that Mario Puzo is obviously not the most grammatically correct author.
And when you finally get your moment alone to yourself, smile.
And masturbate.
Look up to the higher skies and say thank you. So with that said, congrats again, young king. Number one, love, # strive for greatness, and then a rocket ship emoji.
A rocket ship?
What the hell is going on? LeBron James?
Well, obviously, the lack of a college education is having some effect on his writing skills.
Well, I mean, you would think some of the reading, you know, when, the Hunger Games, I know that was a big one for him. That he was going to. And then after the game, after he finally got his 30,000th point, they gave him a chance to say something about it. Remember, they lost last night to a Kawhi-less, Pau Gasol-less.
Yeah, Parker got benched.
Parker
He's coming
got
off the bench.
Spurs team. They're in the middle of a horrible slump. There's team infighting, and so someone asked him about his 30,000th point.
Well, I'll never fully appreciate what I do anytime I accomplish something, no matter if it's a win or a loss. Looking forward to the moment when I'm, you know, basically can be done with the game and I can sit back with my family and my friends. We can sit back, drink some wine, talk about all the accomplishments that I had and the feats that I've able to accomplish. So,
oh, that's going to be such a great night. Guys, let's open some wine.
That's right. Let's invite everyone over so you can talk about yourself.
Yeah. All right. Kids, come
worst
around.
Worst party ever.
Kids, come
50
around.
50 people sitting, stadium seating in his movie room.
Everything that, let's watch slides of me. Hey, kids, look at what you'll never measure up to. This is me.
How does he not know how he comes across? How does he not know that this is the worst sound? You couldn't sound any worse right now if you wanted to.
Because Maverick Carter and a bunch of other people have been patting him on the back saying you're awesome for 15 years now.
No, it's the AAU system. It's not even Maverick Carter. It's just people's livelihoods have been dependent on him since he was 12. Guys have been, you know, hustling for shoe deals and bigger coaching jobs on his back forever. They know who these kids are at 11 years old. I mean, LeBron James doesn't squeak through the basketball system at his size and athletic ability very long. And then you have guys who have to cater to you because they have to have you on their team because they have to win because they need that to get the shoe deals, and they need that to get their coaching pedigree up.
This is going to be the guy who scores more points than anybody else in the history of the NBA.
And this is going to be the guy who will be the first to tell you that.
No, but I mean, how is history going to look back at him? Yeah, he's going to, he will be one of the three best players in NBA history.
That's
certainly
why.
How are people going to look back at this guy in 20 or 30 years?
That's why it's amazing, because he doesn't need to say this. We know how good you are.
Right. All right, well, we'll have more from LeBron James.
It continues.
As he continues to pat himself on the back. And we will have that for you.
He's the best.
Yep, we'll be right back.
It was a tough decision because I know how loyal I am. And one thing my mother told me when I was going through this process and what ultimately helped me make my decision is you have to do what's best for you and what's going to make you happy.
Sports Hub, we are Toucher and Rich. LeBron James is 30,000th point last night in a loss, which is 10 out of 13 that they have lost, the Cleveland Cavaliers. And LeBron James put on Instagram an ode to himself, his younger self.
He's the first one to congratulate himself.
Something that could have been done in private. I understand maybe the exercise of taking time to reflect and look at a younger and appreciate your accomplishments. But the idea of doing that to your, I would imagine, over a million Instagram fans is a little odd. It's an exercise that probably could be done in private.
Sure.
But social media is super fun.
Yeah.
You can do that.
But he continued with his own self-praise when he was asked about his 30,000th point yesterday after the game.
Well, I'll never fully appreciate what I do anytime I accomplish something, no matter if it's a win or a loss. Looking forward to the moment when I'm basically can be done with the game and I can sit back with my family and my friends. We can sit back, drink some wine, talk about all the accomplishments that I had and the feats that I've been able to accomplish. So I even tried to psych myself out today with my Instagram posts. Tell me to, like, take some time.
What, you tried to psych yourself up by putting something on Instagram for all to see? You know, some people wear headphones and listen to a song. I don't think there's a need to dance around for a million people. That's how you psych yourself up. No, it was
by praising yourself.
Yeah, you were self-aggrandizing. That's all you were doing.
It's also a lot of look at the shiny thing. Never mind the self-destruction. Nothing to see here. What's going on within the locker rooms?
And you also know that he writes his own Instagram post because he doesn't know how to use proper tense. Well, if that's the correct term.
Yeah. Only a handful has reach slash seen it, too.
Yeah. Only a handful has reached.
Has reached.
Yeah. Left off the ED.
So he's telling his younger self, you'll never learn to spell or have proper grammar. Not that I do, but not that bad. I wonder what swims around in that head of his.
Me.
Yeah, it must be glorious. It must be great to go through life like that.
Yeah, just to, but I wonder.
Completely unaware. It's fantastic.
Kyrie's just sitting here probably just laughing at all of this. Imagine having to deal with that.
Well, apparently Isaiah Thomas is no angel either.
Tell me to, like, take some time and say, I don't know how to do it. I've never been able to do it. When I got 25,000 or 20, or, you know, MVPs and, you know, Rookie of the Year and things, won a championship. I haven't had a time to really just sit and appreciate. And
You're doing it right now. I don't know if you're aware of this.
It didn't take very long. I mean, one would think you thought about this a time or two.
When we're asking about the 30,000, we didn't know you were going to rattle off about 15 other things that you've done. You see, we're aware of those. You don't really need actually to tell us. So the time that you say you don't have to take off, you're doing it literally right now. And you did it on Instagram before.
Sure, your career has not been a secret up until now.
No, but he hasn't. He hasn't had time
to reflect. Except for when he wrote his Instagram now that he's talking about.
There's no downtime in the NBA. You're constantly, there's no moment for reflection.
No off season.
No, the off season, I mean, during the season. You work out, you warm up a little bit. And then you got all day to sit there and reflect.
You know, the journey that I've been on, and I don't want to because I think it's allowed me to stay on the path that I've been on. So, You know, I have a lot more time when I'm done, a lot more than I did when I played to kind of look back on what I was able to accomplish.
Well, you are just the greatest. You are the best around.
I hope he writes a book and they let him, like, they can, no one can tell him, like, let someone edit this. And that he just does, he writes his own book and they, everyone's like, yeah, LeBron, maybe you should let us touch it. Maybe. And he just refuses.
Windhorse is knocking down his door. Bang, can I write it? Can I write it? And LeBron's like, no.
I wonder what's wrong. Got this. I wonder what's going to happen to Windhorse. I wonder if, you know, like when you have two dogs and one of the dogs dies and the other one dies.
Sure.
Like 2 days later.
Right. It's like old people.
Yeah. I wonder if when LeBron retires, if Windhorse... Like, all of a sudden, you see him, and he's, like, 150 pounds.
He just, like, disintegrates into
the
sky?
He'd go the other way. Yeah, some people get upset they eat more. No. Windhorse would lose all the weight.
I don't know how much bigger Windhorse can get.
Okay. See, I think it's a Romeo and Juliet situation. I think there's poison involved.
Oh.
No, LeBron! I can't live!
All right. Well, LeBron James, suffice it to say, is very full of himself. Well, tomorrow... A townie Jeopardy, and it will feature the big star, the breakout star of Worse Than Brady, which is Nora, that everyone got very excited about.
Oh, man, I swear, when we had Nora on the show, we got like tons of tweets like, I want to go drinking with Laura, or I'm Nora, I want to hang out with Nora. Well, you know what, she's back. We're going to have her on the townie test. She's one of the contestants. We are going to have Bird, of course, as one of the contestants. The dude apparently is...
The dude's got another job.
Got something he's got to do, so we got to find a third chair for the townie test.
But I just say to Bird, just walk out on the street and grab someone.
just go to one of the street parties?
I want to know what the dude has to do at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm very interested in what the dude has, because it involves being able to go out and take a smoke break every 10 seconds.
Right, ripping butts outside.
But
should we get Fat Tony to be the third contestant?
Is Fat Tony the one with the blood pressure?
Yeah. Fat Tony's the one who won.
No.
The Worse Than Brady
I want to see what Bird drags in here.
There's somebody available.
Maybe we should have someone ready to go.
I just think that you see what Bird can bring in here.
I think Rich is hinting at is that maybe Bird will forget to do this.
He'll
bring in someone who's not good on the air.
Okay. Right. Yeah, he might, you know, he'll bring in like some guy who's got like a good job and, you know, it's not what we're looking for.
No, we can do it. Bird can bring someone in. That's part of the mystery, is that Bird will bring someone in.
Okay.
And so
for Townie Jeopardy tomorrow.
So Townie Jeopardy.
Featuring Nora, the great Nora.
And Bird and one of Bird's disciples. Maybe somebody who played at Everett High a couple years before him,
mm-hmm.
a couple years after him. They can reminisce about the touchdown Bird scored and gave the video to NBC Sports Boston without our knowledge. He just sent them the video for absolutely no reason. He's very proud of himself.
I think we've kind of exhausted the townies here at the station. You know what, though? We have not gotten Dan Lifshatz yet.
Oh, that's right. I don't know. Is he a townie?
Anyone who shows up with a Lawyer Malloy jersey,
that's
9 out of 10 days of work.
That was one of the ways. There was a Corey Dillon last week.
I don't know why it was. That means he has money. All I know is I want to see what Bird pops in here. I don't care if they're good or not.